Let's take a look and see what you have to do for homework number 6, laboratory homework number 6. You notice this is a combined lab homework, so all the questions here you have to answer and hand them all in. So let's open up the notes to lab homework 6 and please follow along. Now this homework deals with some of the history of computer science. And it's not that old. Right? Computer science about 50, 60 years old, that's it. That's relatively young as far as sciences are concerned. Okay, and so let's talk a little bit about the main part of computers. The first computers were basically designed, as you'll see, in the 40s, the 50s. I mean, there is an early history, and indeed, let's take a look at this lab and see what's going on. Now, let's follow along, and it talks about a virtual laboratory where you're going to research a bit of the history of computer science. And even though it says here your answers are to be handed in on paper, obviously in my courses you always do what? You email me a file. You write them in a file, a word processing file, and you can email me the answers. That's what you have to do over here. Now, you'll see that this lab and homework, that it's broken up into several components, sort of four different components, pre-World War I, then towards computers as we know them, the modern era, and then the Internet. And there are several questions in each part, and it introduces to you personalities and concepts that deal with computers, the history of computer science. If you look at pre-World War I, it goes way back, actually, and you'll see that it introduces a number of personalities that what they did had an impact on computer science. The first one they talk about is Blaise Pascal. Now, all of these you'll see are hyperlinks, and you can click on them. And typically, as it even explained to you, the idea might be to open it up in a new tab or a new window so you don't even lose the actual homework, because there's a lot of links that you'll be using and a lot of information you'll be reading. And Pascal was actually a mathematician, all right? But he invented some machine, okay? And they even show you a picture of it, something called the Pascaline. And they ask you a couple of questions. Where did he live? What was the purpose of the Pascaline? And you could learn a little bit about how it impacted computer science. So way back when, it's not recently, Pascal, there was a computer language named after him, Pascal. Okay, a simple computer language. But what he did with this Pascaline had an impact on computer science. And so that's sort of the first thing you have to learn about. And then you go a little bit further, and you talk about weaving. All right, the next question deals with Jacquard and the Jacquard loom. Now, Jacquard had nothing to do with computer science. He had everything to do with a weaving machine. He made the life of a weaver, all right, much easier. And the question is how? And he invented something called the Jacquard loom. And you will see that even though it has nothing to do with computer science, it has a lot to do with programming. The early days of programming computers, they dealt with what's called punched cards to represent the instructions, the commands. And what Jacquard did was invent a loom that worked with punch cards. And what he did for weaving was actually then translated to computer science later. Indeed, as I think I've mentioned to you in one of the earlier labs or lectures, if you go to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., you will see an example in the computer science section of a Jacquard loom, because that's part of the history of computer science. So you'll learn about that. And then you go on to Charles Babbage, right, with his difference engine. And you'll see a difference engine, the analytical engine. And again, that dealt with the history of computing. And here he's starting to deal with computing already. It says he may be known as the father of the computer. But again, many of the concepts that he envisioned for this difference engine, the analytical engine, many of those concepts carried over to today's computers. I don't know if I would call them computers, but I would definitely call them, their concepts, computing machines. And again, you will learn about that history. We will talk about Ada Lovelace. There was a computer language called Ada. There is a computer language called Ada and was named after this person, and she might be considered the first computer programmer. So again, you're going to learn a little bit about that and answer a couple of questions. And you'll see she actually works with Babbage. And then the last part over here talks about Hollerith. And Hollerith worked for IBM. And IBM stands for International Business Machines. And they are very big in computers today. But back in the early 1900s, and even before that, they had concerns about calculating different things. and there was a big concern about we're not going to be able to calculate the census numbers for the year 1900. How are we going to do that efficiently? And so Hollerith came up with what was called a punch card reader to help with that. And you'll learn about the history of that and how something developed for the Census Bureau by IBM then when it was used in computer science. But this punch card concept was actually developed by IBM for the Census Bureau. And you'll learn about Hollerith's contribution over there. Any questions on that? From that, that's really the early history. And then we start to actually get into computer science. And then the second part of this lab deals with Torwart's computers, and we know them, and we start to learn about some of the real personalities of computer science. The first part of the second section talks about Alan Turing. And he might be the real father of computer science. And Alan Turing was a mathematician and did a lot of his work around World War II. He actually founded the artificial intelligence and the concept of Turing machines, and was a cryptologist. Right? He worked for the government, he worked for England, and helped break some of the German codes. And quite a brilliant person. And his concepts of the stored program computer, the Turing machines, and their impact on computer science is basic, it's fundamental. Right? And his concepts are used. Right? His theory are still used, even some of his applications. Okay. Then we get into some of the early computers, the actual early computers like ENIAC, and you can take a look at that. And then some of the other concepts that you will learn here. If you go to the third section, they take you to some information that's supplied by the IEEE, the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, again on the history of computing, and it's here that you will learn where the term debugging came into play and the personality involved with that. I think we mentioned that in the early days of computing, they once had a problem where the computer didn't work, and the woman in charge, you will learn her name and have to remember her name, she went to see what the problem was and found the real bug. Right, this bug still exists. Yes, it's on display at the Smithsonian. It's another one of those things that's there. It's part of the history of computer science, and the bug didn't let the relay close. And so that's where the term debugging came from, a real bug found in a computer. You'll also learn about Ritchie and Thompson of Bell Laboratories. They developed Unix. They were the developers of the Unix operating system. Back at, notice, 1969. And it still works. It's still very good. All right, you have something that's over 37, 38 years old, and it still works. It's been refined from the early days, but it's still basically that same old Unix operating system that they developed back in the 69, 70, and still has very powerful, very stable, and is used. Right? Unbelievable. Something to work for that long in computer science is amazing. So you'll learn about them. And then some other concepts that you see over here. Any questions on that? The modern era, the third section deals with the history of microprocessors. You'll take a look at the first microprocessor, how fast they were, and sort of the history of microprocessing. That's this third part. And then the first microprocessor was developed by Intel. And they still have a very important role with it, obviously, with Pentiums and so on. And then the last section deals with the Internet, history of the Internet. Started with ARPA in 1969, and really the interesting the way you can think about it is because ARPA is a Defense Department agency, the Advanced Research Projects Agency of the Defense Department, these days called DARPA, with a D in front of it. And the reason they developed the Internet was, as usual, in the Defense Department, you have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and everybody builds their own network. We got money, let's build a network. And then one day somebody wakes up and says, you know, the Army network should talk to the Navy network and should talk to the Air Force network. Maybe they should talk to each other and exchange information sometime. Really? How do we do that? Everybody built their own network. And so then, oh, well, we have to come up with a way of doing this. And that's how ARPANET got developed, to try to come up with an efficient way to make these individual networks talk to each other. And that's how the Internet got developed. And again, the amazing thing is that what was developed to allow interneting, the IP protocol, the Internet protocol was developed back in the days of 1969, 1970. And guess what? That's still around. 37 years, and it's still around. Amazing. Again, in computer science, for something to last that long, and that's from the early days of the internet. And the reason it's around is simplicity. I mean, the designers of it, you'll learn about them, and I've met them and I've spoken to them, and even back in the early days there. And it's the simplicity of the design that's the beauty of the design. And that's what makes it work and what's made it last these 37 years. And so you'll notice a number of things about the early days of the internet over here and how IP was developed and how they continued to evolve things on the internet. RFCs, requests for comments. When they want to create new standards, they put out these RFCs, drafts, and then they get revised and revised until they standardize things. And so you'll be able to read about that during this lab also. What you have to do in this lab is go through all these parts, meet all these personalities, talks about all these different objects and concepts, the microprocessors, transistors, printed circuit boards, the history of the internet, the history of microprocessing. That's what this laboratory is all about. You have to answer the questions and email me a file that obviously contains all of that. Any questions on that? So that's your introduction to Laboratory 6.